on 1116 SEN, the world of football for NSL Australia. Want to play football or other sports at a US college? Award-winning NSR can get you there. Visit nsraustralia.com.
Or on NSR Australia throughout the program, great opportunity for a young person in your care, son, daughter, or even yourself if you're the right age to go and be part of the college system, collegiate system in the United States. As I welcome Dave Davidovich from the Herald Sun, is it good news or bad news from Sydney? Because there has been a goal in this all-important game.
Good afternoon or good evening, Finey. It's great news for Wanderers fans and A-League fans in general. I guess most people would be rooting for the Wanderers tonight. They're up 1-0 courtesy of Nikita Rukavica. We're 40 minutes in, and unfortunately I didn't see the goal because your producer was gibbering outside, Finey, old Braden, but apparently it was a pretty good goal.
Michael Zappone, Fox Football, welcome to you. I would be very surprised if there are any A-League fans who don't want to see the Wanderers make a vigorous and maybe even successful defence of their wonderful title that they won earlier this year.
Yeah, very tight in that group, Finey, and I think they're joint second in the group, so this is a home game, vital 3 points up for grabs here, and it would put them into second on the table. Guangzhou, Evergrande are at top of that group, so they're already qualified. So this is a vital 3 points up for grabs tonight. If they can secure this 3 points, so they're a long way to getting through.
I think they'd only need a draw in their final game against Guangzhou.
Plenty to talk about. We'll be joined by Graeme Arnold very shortly, the Sydney FC manager, and what an interesting round of football it was. Sydney FC squeak home in a 4-3 thriller. Wellington Phoenix absolutely confound myself because they were 2-0 down. It was Friday night, was it not?
It was.
And I, obviously, with football duties, both professional and emotional, started watching Collingwood St Kilda, or went to Collingwood St Kilda.
And so did I, Finey.
And left the game at 2-0 with more goals likely for the opposition. I thought Wellington Phoenix were hanging. The end of the first half, Phoenix showed a bit, but they didn't do a whole lot at the start of the second half, and then saw that they had won 3-2 and raced to see the highlights, and highlights they were.
It was a crucial win for the Phoenix. Kenny Cunningham scoring two goals, and he's been a disappointment of their visa players. So two absolutely critical goals at a critical time of the season. They've really dropped off in the last few weeks, but it sets up for a huge game between Wellington and Sydney FC on Sunday, Zappers. And that's the only game that's of real interest, I think, going into the last round.
It is. It's the big game this weekend, and we'll talk to Arnie about that. And we've got a couple of calls on the line, which we might look at in a moment. But the grand final is the topic of those calls, Finey, because this week, conflicting stories are emerging. Firstly, in the Herald Sun, the Herald Sun reported that it looked like the grand final will be played at Amy Park, and the FFA had agreed that if Victory were to finish first, no matter who their opponent, Amy Park would be the venue. Yesterday, Michael Lynch in The Age reported that the grand final could be shifted to Sydney if Victory's opponents are Sydney FC. I did some calling around today and I found that there is a lot to that story, and the FFA are pushing hard for the New South Wales government to fund that to happen and for Sydney FC to host the grand final if they finish second and Victory finish first. We could see an ANZ Stadium grand final between Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory.
Al in Airport West has rung in. He wants to know which way it's likely to go, I think. Good evening, Al.
G'day, guys. Zappers, that's not news I wanted to hear. As a Melbourne Victory paid-up member, we have earned the right to host a grand final if we do end up winning our final game and winning our first final. If that actually happens, I know that so many people would actually boycott the actual final and not travel to Sydney, because there's already a bit of a thought that the FFA favours Sydney teams in A-League, and this, I'm telling you, it will be outrage amongst the Melbourne Victory fans. I understand that, you know, if Amy Park is the only venue, that there's not enough people and they'll be losing money, but it's the FFA's fault. And they've got nobody else to blame but themselves for not booking in and the stadium on that date. And then basically, I believe they changed the date. It was a week earlier. And then, then it was too late. The AFL has booked it anyway. But I personally think, look, I'll end up probably going, but because, it's, I love my team and I'll go there to support them, but they will not get anywhere near, 50,000 or 60,000 fans or what they expect to, if they switch it to Sydney, because I know so many people that just will not go. And I'm talking about members that go every week.
Yep. Points taken, Al. Just to clarify, I don't think we can squarely lay the blame at FFA for this. Now, they pushed it back by a week because the Asian Champions League fixtures were changed. So under the old, it was going to be played a week earlier.
The Asian Cup.
There was going to be Asian Champions League games in the week leading into the A-League Grand Final. Hence, they pushed it back a week. My understanding is that they then pencil booked Etihad Stadium and the AFL was aware of this. However, they pretty much have last rights at Etihad Stadium and they've hence flexed their muscle and booked over the top and booked a game a week earlier also. So it's the Western Bulldogs Fremantle game. But my understanding is that the game will be played at Amy Park, as has been reported by the Herald Sun. And for many of the reasons you've just mentioned, I mean, if they play the game at ANZ Stadium after Melbourne Victory has won the rights to host the A-League Grand Final, there will be an absolute uproar, and so there should be. So even though it's probably you're talking about $1 million off the FFA's bottom line by not having it at Etihad Stadium, for the integrity of the competition, I think it's very important that the game is then played in Melbourne.
Thanks for the call, Al. Daniel in Hoppers Crossing is with us now. Good evening, Daniel.
G'day, Finey and boys. How are we?
Good, Daniel.
Yeah, good.
Just a quick one. First of all, I'm an AFL fan, if anything, and a Hawthorn man. I just had a quick point about the Bulldogs Freo game. It is at Etihad at the moment. Could they possibly move that to the Witten Oval to bring some fans back to the Witten Oval and have the A-League Grand Final at Etihad?
If there was a will to move the game, it could be moved to Simmons Stadium. It could be moved, yes, to Witten Oval with, I guess, some care for OH&S.
They had a pre-season game there, didn't they, Finey?
Well, they
Witten
also,
Oval?
Yeah, they had a VFL game there last year.
Didn't they have
year.
A there NAB was, Cup game there
yeah,
this year?
Yeah, that was well attended. All those things would be possible, but the will is not there. Mm. Whether under instruction from the AFL or acting on their own behalf, Western Bulldogs have said, no, look, that's where we're playing our game. We are slated to play at Etihad Stadium, and all of the reasons that have gone before, well stated by Dave Davidovich as to why the A-League and Melbourne Victory and all parties concerned may have dropped the ball, simply does not and will not mean that game is changed. That is, it is the reason why it's being changed. There will be no emotional pull, please come on, Victory might have to leave town. Now, whether the AFL's gently nudging in the background and saying, we're not giving a free kick to the A-League, or whether the Bulldogs are of that mind, that game is not going to be played at Etihad on that date.
Well, the way the AFL works is that they wouldn't give a free kick to football or any other sport for that matter. So if the game were to be moved, they would want something in return. You know, whether it's funding for a training facility for a club like St Kilda or whatever it may be, they would look to leverage that for something else. But it was certainly the AFL that was showing resistance at the start and in the last couple of weeks. Initially, my understanding was the Bulldogs were open to moving the game to Simmons Stadium, which was realistically the only option. I mean, when's the last time they've played an AFL game at a suburban venue, Finey? I mean,
well, the
we're
last
talking Witten Oval and these sorts of grounds.
Maybe Princess Park in the mid... in the start of this millennium, Andrew Walker's first game was Carlton's last game, and that might be it.
There you go. So, anyway, the Bulldogs, my understanding is they were keen. However, they had a good start to the season. And ironically, Fremantle beat Geelong at the Cattery a couple of weeks ago. And Peter Gordon made some pretty strong remarks in the ensuing days. And that basically kiboshed any potential move. So, As I said, my understanding is that the grand final will be played at Amy Park if Melbourne Victory wins the hosting rights.
Angelo in Greenvale, good evening to you.
Yeah, g'day, lads. How are we?
We're good.
Well. Yeah, that's good. I just thought, don't the Bulldogs sort of jump up and down about their stadium deal? And I'm sure the A-League would have offered them some form of compensation to move the game. I mean, it would have been a win-win for them to go. You know, there was a bit of a whisper of pre-season that they wanted to play games back at the Witten Oval. I can't understand why they wouldn't have taken the money from the A-League and then played the game at the Witten Oval. Like, they cry poor, but they get the opportunity to make some money there.
Angelo, my understanding is that there was no compensation offered from the FFA or the A-League. They were pressuring the state government of Victoria to try and facilitate the move and potentially pay some form of compensation, but also the offer that they got from the city of Geelong to move the game to Simmons Stadium was a good deal financially. They would have made more money than what they probably would do at Etihad Stadium, but it's all been basically overruled for football reasons. I just mentioned Peter Gordon came out and was strong and said it's about the 4 points. He mentioned that on three or four occasions in an interview with KB here on SCN last week. So I think Luke Beveridge and the football department down at the Bulldogs have had the final say.
Welcome back to the World of Football, brought to us by NSR Australia. What a wonderful opportunity it would be for any teen or thereabouts to go to the United States and be part of the collegiate system. The education would not only be the one received in the classroom or the lecture hall, but also life skills learnt travelling overseas and studying abroad. And it can be done on a sporting scholarship. That scholarship varies depending on the skill of the sports person, but it only comes to Australians one way. If you want quality, and that is NSR Australia, go to the website nsraustralia.com.au for more details. Graham Arnold's Sydney FC started well and have continued throughout the season to look like a potential championship team. That ambition, if to be met, has an important game this weekend. The match against Wellington Phoenix will decide, who gets the double chance, and we're very pleased to be able to speak to the Sydney FC coach ahead of that vital end of home and away season clash. Good evening, Graham.
Good evening, guys.
The finals really start this week, don't they?
Yeah, you could say that. The last few weeks, especially with the season so tight towards over the last few weeks for the Premiership, every game has pretty much been a final for the last month. So, it's good preparation for the final series.
Arnie, thanks for joining us. Appa here.
No worries,
we've been talking about the grand final and potentially the prospect of Sydney perhaps hosting a grand final if Sydney were to finish second and Victory were to finish first. And I was joking in the break saying perhaps you wouldn't want that. Given your away form this year, you haven't lost a game away from home. That's extraordinary.
Don't try to mind games with me. Come on. I know you're from Melbourne. it's unfortunate for Melbourne Victory if they can't, get a big stadium to play the grand final on, because, I think overall, this year it's, obviously it's not done yet, but, Melbourne Victory, in my view, have been the most consistent team over the first 27 rounds. And if we didn't have the bad month there in, I think it was December, where we had four players went down with season-ending injuries, and we struggled through to the transfer window to be able to get some recruitment in, then it could have been a different story. But, Melbourne Victory have done exceptionally well this year. Kevin Muscat's done a great job. And, if they do get the premiership on the weekend, and then they have like the team that comes second, if it's us or Wellington, it's a tough game. The one-off game to make the grand final, and for Melbourne Victory were to win that and not be able to play in Melbourne and be a tragedy for their supporters.
Arnie, congratulations on a fantastic debut season at Sydney FC. Now, if you were to win the hosting rights for the grand final, would you be happy for the game to be moved to ANZ Stadium, or would you prefer to play it at Sydney Football Stadium?
Well, I think Allianz Stadium is booked as well. I'm not 100% certain on that. But the only thing that concerns me at the moment is the state of the fields up here. even if the game is at Amy, I'd be happy to play the grand final at Amy, because at the end of the day, the pitch is fantastic down there to play on, and the surface. So, you know, it's you know, obviously for the to be looking at ANZ, it's for a bigger crowd, and that's the reason why the game would be played at ANZ. And you know, I watched a game of rugby league only, I think it was about a week ago, and the field is not in fantastic condition, and we're having horrendous weather up here at the moment. And you know, a lot of the pitches up here on because of the dual occupancy, and you play that, you know, at Allianz, you got rugby league on one weekend plus rugby the week after. It makes it quite tough to play on.
You guys are playing Spurs in late May in that one-off exhibition game. Now, I think over 60,000 tickets have been sold. Any idea of how many of those are Sydney FC fans?
No, Dave, no idea, mate. It's, yeah. No, I think a lot of people would be the neutral as well.
Mm.
And it's a great opportunity for, you know, Sydney FC as a club to be able to show the market and show the neutral fans out here what we can give to them as well. So hopefully we'll put on a good performance, and it'll be a good night, and hopefully we can attract some more members.
Graeme Arnold, coach of Sydney FC, has joined us. Of course, his resume goes to the very top of Australian football, both playing and coach. And let's get to more immediate matters, or actually a past matter. And when you're 3-1 up and you surrender a lead in a vital game as against Newcastle, you'd think that the coach would be ropeable, but was there a little bit of Graeme Arnold seeing Andrew Hall instrumental in both? In fact, the second goal, he was superb. It was Enver, what's his name, Ilovic? There was a 1-2.
Ilovic, yeah.
Beautiful play, and given that he's going to play for Sydney FC next year, there must have been a little bit of Graeme a little bit happy.
He was mad, wasn't he, to take that penalty? threatening with reserve grade football next year.
Were you trying to get his attention? No, don't do it.
No, but look, that shows you what I thought. You know, when the kid stood up to take the penalty, it was his first goal in the A-League as well, and his last home game at Newcastle. He showed great character. You know, he didn't even think about where he was going next year, or you know, and what the future was. It was about, you know, wanting to win on that night, and it showed a great winner's mentality. And look, I think the kid's got a lot of talent, and you know, I look forward to coaching him next year, and you know, attracting another youngster to Sydney. And you know, well, as I said, I look forward to working with him, because I think he's you know, he's got special talent, but I think he's also probably a better number 10 than where he plays at Newcastle, where he plays out in a wider area, and sometimes he doesn't get on the ball as much as he can do through the middle.
Arnie, we've seen you bring a lot of young players through again this year, as you did at the Central Coast Mariners. Do you think that A-League coaches perhaps don't give our youngsters as much opportunity as they deserve? We saw, probably due to circumstance, and I'll ask you this in a moment, Brisbane do the same on the weekend. Do you think our youngsters of 17 and 18 years of age are playing enough senior football?
Look, I think the secret of, it's not just my secret, you know, of the success I had at the Mariners, it was about bringing the young kids through and giving them 1 or 2 years to develop, and they strengthen your squad. You know, Kevin Muscat's done it down in Melbourne. You know, Muskie, now, when he first took over that squad, he didn't have that many youngsters, but, you know, in the year that last season, he used a lot of them in Champions League. He used a lot of them in the A-League. And this year, they've added a lot of depth to their squad. So when they have, you know, 3 or 4 players injured or, you know, away with international duty, those kids, you know, created a great depthness in the squad that has made them what they are today. And it's exactly the same what I'm trying to do now at Sydney. I'm trying to youthen the side a bit and trying to get some more kids in, because kids add enthusiasm. The A-League isn't easy with playing in the heat, but all the travel as well. So it's, you know, it's an opportunity to give those kids a chance. But, you know, I look across the board. I've been surprised, Adelaide maybe only played 1 or 2 youngsters. Perth Glory this year, only 1 or 2, if at maximum, with young De Silva, and you know, Brisbane only 1 or 2 as well. And you know, if you look at what Kevin's done down there, he's he's given those kids a chance, and they've done well for him.
And we saw what top of the table. And we saw what Jamie McLaren was capable of at the weekend when starting a game. Yeah.
Can I just ask that? Does it help? And it does help that we've got A-League coaches who played for the Socceroos, captain the Socceroos, coached the Socceroos in Graham and Kevin. And whilst, of course, your first commitment is to your employer, Sydney FC, is there a notion that there is also an obligation to the game and the international aspirations of our country?
Yeah, look, if we don't, you know, I think if I've always got, because I work for the national teams, I've been in the, you know, I've been in two positions. One is when you're working with the national team and I coach the Olympic team, and you're looking at the A-League and you're looking at all the coaches not giving the kids an opportunity, then it's not helping you on the international stage. And, you know, so I've come back to a club with the mentality of trying to give Australian kids the opportunity for the good of the national teams as well, to develop kids and hopefully help them with their careers so they can move forward to make our national teams even stronger.
Did you make that clear to your bosses at Sydney FC, or at least are they on board with that notion? They do pay your wage, and it's not what you're paid for.
Yeah, but I did it at the Mariners, and I'm not going to change my philosophy or my thinking just because Sydney's a bigger club. You know, I would never jeopardise the club's future or the club's potential by just giving kids a go that I don't think are good enough. You know, I've got young Alex Gearbash, who's just turned 17, or he's just over 17, who's played 18, 19 games for me this year, and he's done exceptionally well. He hasn't let us down. And, you know, Christopher Newmoff is 18, Aaron Calver is 18. And these kids step in and you know, when they're given the opportunity, they play and they do exceptionally well.
And you've just announced this afternoon that Aaron Calver and George Blackwood's contracts have been extended, two teams.
Yeah.
Blackwood in particular, I've seen a bit more of Calver, but Blackwood was a late call-up, a striker, an old-fashioned target man called up for the Oli Roos. What can you tell us about him and his potential?
He is exciting. I get goosebumps when I talk about him. He's so good. I think Mark Viduka's, and I'm not putting any label on him, but he's that type of style. He's got quick feet. He's only just turned 17. He's a big boy. He's quick. He's very good 1v1, but also he's got two great feet. And you know, Aurelio called him up for the Olympic team, and he did well with the Olympic team. And he'll be part of our first team squad next year. And you know, I actually had to throw him in against Melbourne City round one this year because Yanko was away and Smeltz got injured, and he played the first 60 minutes of that game and did quite well. And he came on the other week. So the kid's got a huge future.
Exciting prospect, and great to see him play in Champions League. As you mentioned, you finished second, you played Champions League, and you need that the depth of the squad come Champions League time because of the commitments on the players. I just wanted to ask you about Saturday night and victory against Brisbane, and what was going through your mind when the Brisbane team started to resemble a youth team. What were you thinking?
I didn't watch it. I didn't, you know, I... the kids made it difficult for Melbourne victory in the end. And, you know, they hit the post and crossbar twice, but... You know, it's disappointing on one side of it. You know, you know that, you'd hope that all the A-League teams would keep and respect the A-League and that. But at the same time, I understand Brisbane's side of it with the scheduling. You know, the scheduling wasn't made easy for them. They're about to play Beijing tonight in the Champions League. And the players aren't robots, you know. The West Sydney Wanderers this year and Brisbane have... Especially the Wanderers have been put through hell with the scheduling, and hopefully, out of this year, out of this season with the A-League 10 years in, you know, I think that it'll be remembered now as the Perth Glory saga with the salary cap. But let's hope that FFA have taken and learned a huge lesson out of the scheduling side of things. You know, I mentioned that I complained about it 2 or 3 years ago, and everyone said I was whinging, of course, but. You know, it's difficult. I invited, when I was at the Mariners, I invited David Gallop and Damien De Boon to come on the trip with us to see what we have to go be put through.
Did they come?
No.
Is there any chance that they increase the squads for teams participating in the Champions League next season, Arnie? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, but you've got to work within the cap. You know, that's the hardest thing. You know, like Tony Popovich this year extended his squad outside the A-League squad with about another four or five players.
And it was but they've still got to come within the cap.
No, those players are outside the cap.
Right.
Because if you remember, Tanaka came originally in and Kalmar, Karim Bullitt, they came back and they came in to the Wanderers squad just for the Asian Champions League. But because they got injuries in the A-League squad, they moved into the salary cap as injury replacement players.
Is Mark Yanko going to be your marquee next year, Arnie?
I think so. We've given Mark exactly the same offer as he had this year. And, you know, we expected him to come out and be leading goal scorer of the league, and we expected him to perform the way he's done. And, you know, we didn't pay that money to bring someone out to do less than what he's done.
And Sydney FC is a club that's often been put in the same sentence as turmoil and unrest, but it's been pleasing to see from a distance anyway that the club has settled down this year. Do you get the sense that that's the case?
Look, I've, Zappa, the only thing I can say, mate, the board are fantastic people. And, you know, they're a young board and maybe they've learnt lessons along the way as well. But they've been fantastic to work with. I really and truly am enjoying this job so much, and being back in Sydney where I was born and where I played all my football, that, you know, the club is, you know, a joy to work with, and, you know, hopefully I'll be here for a long, long time.
And Arnie, did you dodge a bullet by not accepting Perth Glory's offer at the start of the season?
You could say that, couldn't you?
might have also been dodging some nice payments.
No, but it's sad to see what's happened to those players over there. And, you know, it's, as I said before, it'll be the thing that probably sticks out in the memory of Year 10 in the A-League.
Just one last one. We're watching West Sydney Wanderers and it's 1-0 against Kashima Antlers. Sydney FC have a campaign ahead of them. This competition it's grueling. It's obviously something now that we value highly after West Sydney's win. We spoke about extended squads. Is there any other way that this can be made to have less of an impact on a team's campaign in the A-League? Have you thought about how we'll approach it?
Simple.
Yep.
Scheduling. FFA scheduling. The games. When the team plays on a Tuesday night, like Brisbane played tonight in China, and they've got to play Friday night in the A-League. Why don't they play Sunday?
So what?
Give the players an extra 2 days to recover.
What would you say would be the minimum break? And that should be written in stone. A 4-5 day break, would that be as a coach the minimum?
Look, when I was at the Mariners, we had 2 day turnarounds. You know, we'd play on a Wednesday in Asia and play and back up and have to play on Saturday. Now, if you look at the flights, no flights in Asia, all flights in Asia, leave at night time to arrive early morning. So you can't get back till Friday morning after a Wednesday night game. So at least the team shouldn't play till Sunday or even put it on a Monday night game. Because at the end of the day, surely FFA want us to be successful or want, not us, want the Australian teams to be successful in both competitions. This year, I don't think Wanderers have been given that opportunity to be successful in both the competitions. And I'm a Sydney FC coach against our opponents, the Derby opponents. But, you know, there's been, you know, crazy scheduling. For the players' welfare, you look at a lot of the players have gone down injured. Brisbane have got injured. Brisbane players have got injured. Wanderers players have got injured. The squads have been depleted. Tony Popovich has had to use, you know, kids for one game where he just put a lot of kids out. And, you know, and Brisbane did it the other night. And at the end of the day, you know, no matter what people say, but at the end of the day, maybe a full-strength Brisbane team would have beaten Melbourne Victory that night, and this weekend would be totally different.
Have you been sounded out by the A-League?
I've said it 100 times, but I get called a whinger, so it's not worth saying it anymore. It's,
but behind closed doors, have they actually sat down with you? I couldn't imagine a better person to talk to about it.
But it's not now that we're... Dave, you can back me up here now. It's not just now we've been talking about. We've been talking about it for 5 years. You know, you think back to when Melbourne Victory lost the grand final on a Sunday night, and they had to play on the Tuesday night in Japan.
Yeah.
And they got beat 5-0. What do you expect?
And the Wanderers, I mean, this season had to play two games in 3 days, yeah. One day's break in between.
Yeah, but not only that. Not only that, Dave, you know, you've got the Wanderers go and play away in the ACL or play ACL, and they come back and they've got to go play in Perth 3 days later. Or they've got to go play in Wellington 3 days later. You know, instead of having the home games afterwards. And the dates in the Champions League dates are normally, well, they are, they're set in stone. The only thing you don't know if it's a Tuesday or Wednesday night game, so it should be, I think, more adaptable to dates of the games.
I don't think you're a whinger, Arnie. I call it constructive criticism.
Thanks, Dave. You're one of the only.
we all
want the best for the game.
There you go. This isn't a club-based thing at all. This is something that is being suggested.
Arnie is absolutely bang on. You want to reward the clubs, the successful clubs, the teams that are in the ACL. The fact that the Wanderers have come off winning the Asian Champions League campaign and could win the Wooden Spoon or finish ninth is an indictment on the competition. I mean, they should be in the top six. I think they would be in the top six if they didn't have to balance it out with the ACL campaign this year.
If you look at the Wanderers, how many games they won this year?
A handful.
Three. Last week was the only week I spoke to Popovich, Tony, and it was the only week that they've trained a full week since pre-season before the Adelaide game.
You know what?
They've had a full week of training before and only had one game in that 1 week.
Yeah, 4 wins, 6 draws, 16 losses in the A-League this season.
Yeah, I think it was the second. I think he said he had two wins. With two of the wins, is because they've had 1 week of full training before that game.
Well, there you go. And that's not Graham talking about his own team. That's him talking about crosstown rivals.
Our opponent, yeah, our crosstown rivals. So.
Well, it sounds to me very similar to playing in two competitions is like having a wife and a girlfriend. It's doable, but you need meticulous planning and plenty of gaps between the two so there's no overlap.
But people forget, then you got to talk about the travel. Travel from, you know, Sydney to China. And if you're lucky to be drawn against a team in Asia that is the capital city, then it makes it a little bit easier. But if not, like we were drawn with the Mariners against Guizhou, that's a 4.5-hour bus trip once you arrive in Beijing or Shanghai.
And there's no airport in Gosford, is there, Arnie?
No, there's no airport in Gosford at all either. So, you know, I think that hopefully that's the biggest thing we can learn from this season as well.
It would be amazing, actually, to document one player's or one club's travels as a documentary from start of A-League season through Champions League to the end. Gee, there must be some stories with luggage
can you imagine if you were Matty Sperenovic for the Wanderers who plays in the national team as well, and Mark Milligan next year? He's got to play international football, World Cup qualifiers, as well as Champions League, as well as A-League. And if the scheduling can be like that, Mark Milligan will hardly play for Melbourne Victory.
There's no direct flight from Melbourne to Tajikistan, last time I checked, so there's a few connectors there. Graham, it's a privilege to speak to you. It's an honour to listen to you. All the best in Wellington for a big game. We'll try and tilt things in our favour, but me thinks it might be the two big boys up for the Champions Trophy.
It's a dream grand final, Melbourne-Sydney.
Yeah. Well, you know what they did when there was the last conflict between Melbourne and Sydney? They built Canberra, so let's not do anything stupid again.
No, that's it. Good All the best, guys.
Thanks, Arnie.
Good on you, Arnie.
And how's this from Daisy? This is the first time in any sport league I have heard anyone speak so much about how he cares for all sides. I listen to Essendon 24/7 and have never heard somebody speak so honestly and decently about every team like Graham Arnold just did. Thank you, Gazy. A break, and when we come back, well, there's an interesting story about Arthur Pappas, is there not?
Yeah, there is. So we might not get him tonight, Finey, only because I've just learnt tonight that there is some breaking news in local football terms, and that is that Arthur Pappas has just been appointed the coach of Oakley in the Victorian Premier League, or the NPL. Miron Blyberg.
What happened to Miron?
He had to leave for personal reasons and go overseas. So Arthur Pappas is the new coach of Oakley, and that was just confirmed today, and he's taking his first training session tonight.
So Miron wasn't sacked, he stepped down.
I'm not sure. I was told he had to leave for personal reasons.
Okay, yeah. We'll make some inquiries during the break, boys.
Yeah. Get out of the club, personally. Out. That's a personal reason. Welcome back. Now, we've tried to touch base with Arthur Pappas, but he thinks he's taking training at Oakley for the first time tonight.
Yes, and we've just been alerted to a tweet that Miron Blyberg tweeted 20 minutes ago, saying, confirming that he was leaving Oakley, heading back to Queensland for family reasons. His partner is still up in Queensland, and he's been living away from his family. So he says it's his decision, and he's back there. Someone also tweeted, perhaps the new coach of Brisbane Roar, Miron Blyberg, Mark II. I'm not sure they'll go down that path.
Oakley, third last on the table at the moment, 5 points.
In the Asian Champions League, really must-win clash for West Sydney Wanderers. They had to score, and the Antlers have scored. This is not unjust, I must say. Now, he's just confirming, yes, there is no flag from the Lions person or the assistant referee. Look, it is now 1-1. West Sydney Wanderers scored in the first half, and this second half has been a relentless attack on the West Sydney Wanderers goal. So the equaliser comes as no surprise. It's been scored by Shomar, who was onside, definitely onside. A little bit of lax defending there.
What was Tucker Hudgie doing? He should have closed him down. He's gone to the goals. What can you tell us about Shomar, Finey?
Shomar?
Yeah.
Great finish.
He's a friend of Tucker Hudgie. And it's a great finish. He was able to, I'm assuming he must be a left footer because he steadied back on his left and slotted it safely through.
Maybe he's ambidextrous, Finey.
Yeah, amphibious too, because it's pretty wet up there for the second night in a row in Sydney. Frank Urich, former Socceroo, is an assistant coach with the Melbourne Knights. And the Knights, the beautiful thing about cup competitions is that the draw genuinely is the draw. What will be, will be. And the Melbourne Knights assistant coach can tell us about something that will be of great, I'm sure they know it, but of great interest and enjoyment to many football fans around Melbourne. Good evening, Frank.
Yeah, good evening. How are you guys?
Great. Wonderful to have you on the program. The FFA Cup has, in its first season, captured the imagination of a broad sport-loving public, which is great news, and got wonderful coverage in the main newspapers and free-to-air TV because of the runs of minnows like the Bentley Greens. Well, the Greens are out, so it's going to take somebody else from NPL 1 to make the headlines. Can it be the Melbourne Knights, and who do they have to beat next to do so?
No, we've probably got one of the harder draws for the next game, and that's against South Melbourne. So I guess it's a big game for both clubs. Last year we actually played them, I think it was the quarterfinal, so it was just one game before the qualifying for the FFA Cup.
Yep.
So we've drawn them this time one game, we'll say one game before that again. So it could be lucky or it could be unlucky for us, but we always have a good game against South Melbourne.
Frank, there's another fantastic rivalry building between the two arch-enemies from the NSL day. South Melbourne second on 20 points. Melbourne Knights third on 19. Heidelberg, of course, on top at the moment on 22. How do the two teams compare right now?
I mean, we thankfully haven't lost too many boys from last year. We try and keep Sabre and myself. We try and keep the core of the team, and we probably, try and get two or three new players into the team itself and try and improve it. You could say South Melbourne are the money boys of the NPL, very similar to Bling Bling Sydney FC, you could say. So at the moment, I'd probably say we're underdogs to South Melbourne. But as I said, it's going to be a cup competition, one-off game. And, we're confident going into that game against South Melbourne, as we always are.
Frank, when's the game? And how many more do you need to win to get to the last 32 in Australia?
I think the game's on the Queen's birthday weekend. It hasn't been confirmed yet. It could be either the Saturday or the Sunday. So to actually qualify for the FFA Cup, we actually need to beat South Melbourne. And then there's another draw, I think, which will be for the final eight. So there's two more games to qualify for the FFA Cup.
And where do your priorities lie this season, Frank? Is it the FFA Cup? Is it the league? Is it equal?
Well, put it this way, at the start of the year, we set ourselves some goals. Obviously, playing in the FFA Cup last year, We played that one game up against Brisbane Olympic. We just saw the atmosphere and the players actually just lifted. They saw what the great atmosphere it was. There was a big crowd out there. So we put our priority as to qualify the FFA Cup as well as making the NPL finals. But again, we're reigning Doherty Cup champions, so we want to go back-to-back there as well.
The rivalry between South Melbourne and the Knights, Hellas and the Knights, goes back, of course, to the NSL days. It's strong. And the great thing is it's not an ethnic rivalry. It's based in football. Yes, these clubs have ethnic background support. Do the current crop of fans, and indeed footballers, hold this rivalry as dear as was the case, say, 20 years ago? Is it as important today as it's ever been?
I think it is. Just have to look at myself there. I mean, I was a supporter of the Melbourne Knights as a young boy. And, you know, there's a lot of new faces at the club. There's a lot of non-Croatian supporters who actually come at the club, just the same as South Melbourne.
Sure.
And as they do say, it is the original Melbourne derby, which has been going on for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And, you know, it's a little bit upsetting to see that the crowds weren't as big as what they used to be. But I think in the FFA Cup tie we saw last year, we played against them, was a healthy crowd there at South Melbourne's ground. And that was a midweek game, so you can compare that to, say, A-League games where they only get a few thousand for their Champions League games in the Asian Cup as well. But, you know, this game, there was also over 1,500 people there.
Do any of the old legends get back to support the club? And I imagine in a match like this, it'd be a great call to arms for both sides.
Well, we've got a few phone calls already from old players. I know that Mark Viduka will be coming down on Friday for a session. He's going to take our strikers for a quick session on Friday. So he'll be at the club. There's a lot of boys texting the old players that we used to play with and against, saying that they might come down and have a look at the game as well.
If you can get Frankie Valantic off TV, he'll come down and watch. And Frankie.
I didn't even recognise Frankie on TV. I think he's lost a bit of hair, hasn't he?
No, I think the term is he's lost all of his hair.
Okay.
Frank, I was in Perth on the weekend. Certainly missed you in Perth. But that aside, you spent a lot of time there. What's your take on what's happened there this season?
Well, I haven't been involved with Perth for the last 5 or 6 years now, Zappa, so I'm not terribly sure what's happened there behind the scenes. I just remember the manager at the time was Louis Giuliano, who took care of my contract and everything went above board. So yeah, I can't really comment from that. It's just a little bit disappointing, I guess, for the fans, number one, and number two for the players themselves.
You would have seen how powerful the club was under Nick Turner, or you would have heard about how powerful. Would you think that that's the solution going forward for Perth? He's come out and said he'd like to take over if Tony Sage moves aside.
I mean, let's not get this wrong. I think Sage has done a great job at Perth as well. Nick has been involved with Perth Glory at the very start when they got involved. I think it was at 96 when I was playing at Collingwood. It was their first year. And you just see what he did in the NFL days. Now, I'm not terribly sure because I was overseas at the time why he left the club. I have no idea. But he is a football man. He's very switched on. And, you know, if Tony, I guess, decides to leave the Perth Glory, you know, Nick Turner would be a great fit.
Wonderful to have you on the program, Frank. There's so much more we could talk about, of course.
I think we've got to get Frankie in the studio.
Yeah, we'll get Frankie in. Still passionate about Australian football. Must be. We will book Frank in, and you must be so pleased with where the Socceroos, the direction they've taken, and the direction, hopefully, that the whole sport in Australia's taken. So it'd be a great person to get to speak to about the entire football map that is Australia. Thanks for joining us tonight, Frank.
Not a problem. My pleasure, guys.
Frank Urich, Melbourne Knights assistant coach, former Socceroo, one all, Antlers and West Sydney Wanderers. Now with the Wanderers playing for the 3 points, they don't look anywhere near as iffy down back. It's sometimes that goal has teams changing their...
Oh, it's a complete mental game, football.
But they change their not only their mental attitude, but also their setup. And they were probably playing too deep. Their back four was sitting back too far, and now I think they can actually win this game. I'm going to tip them. Thank you, gentlemen.